The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. Day number 2,898 since a Suns playoff game. That's 414 weeks. That's 69,552 hours. That's 95 months since we had a Suns playoff game, and there's not one coming today. Welcome on in. We'll have Jody Jackson with us today, Fox Sports Arizona's amazing reporter, host, friend. I saw Jody out at the Cardinals draft. It was good to catch up with her and look forward to having some fun chatting with her about the Diamondbacks winning again last night. TV ratings have been off the hook for Fox Sports Arizona. Just amazing what the Diamondbacks are doing, just crushing anything within their path. We will have Talk to the Lopes today, GCU men's assistant basketball coach TJ Benson. Dan Marley signed six players last week. Six! That may seem like an inordinate amount, but I think, and I want to talk to TJ about this, in this day and age of, hey, I am not getting mine, or coaches leaving, or, you know, I thought I was a Pac-12 player. Everybody told me I was a Pac-12 player. My club coach said I was a Pac-12 player. I'm not playing because I'm not a Pac-12 player. So I'm going to go look around. Or I'm not a WAC player. I'm a Division II or Division III player. I'm an NAIA player. But six players coming, that's a lot. And we're going to go through it with TJ. That comes up at 11 o'clock. We have some very good time today to just sit and rap about things. I took Eric to breakfast this morning because I'm a nice guy. I offered to pay. I threw down large jack. I didn't take him to any place. It wasn't an ego with some eggs slammed in between. It was, you look full, you look satisfied, you look, I took good care of you today.
Yeah, it's great when you wake up in the morning and there's a text message from your boss saying, hey, do you want to meet for breakfast? I'll buy. Duh. Rush to the shower, get dressed, get in the car. Had to meet you before you, you know, reneged on your offer, but you didn't.
Why would I renege?
You're a man of your word.
You ripped me yesterday on the air to start the show, so I felt like I had to take you out to show you that I'm not the cheapskate you made me out to be yesterday.
And it's only fitting.
I got crushed yesterday by you and people saying, I never knew that you were so cheap.
It is only fitting that you and I meet for breakfast because I talk to you more than I talk to anyone in my life. So, you know, you and I meeting for breakfast just seemed like it had to happen.
Well,
we talk all the time.
Do you want full disclosure on this?
It's not that I don't like talking to you.
You don't like talking to me. You always want. You're always looking at your watch. I gotta go. I gotta get ready for a show. I gotta go do this. I gotta.
Yeah, well,
it's fine.
Life happens.
That's true.
You'll get over it.
That moment where my daughter says to me, "I'm going to Chicago tomorrow night." I'm a little on edge emotionally today. I can share that with you guys. You're gonna say, "Wow, Brad's getting really deep." No, it's my third child who is graduating from college on Saturday. And this is my youngest daughter who's graduating from college on Saturday in Chicago. So her sister wanted to go back there early, help her move into the city, so on and so forth. I said, fine. I said, get a flight. Let me know what you need. She gets the flight. She comes to me last week and she says, I've got a flight. I need you to take me to the airport. I said, not a problem. What time do you need to leave? And she said, 3 a.m. And I said, that's a problem. I didn't know that there were flights that left at 4:55 a.m. this morning. I did not know that. So at 3 a.m., I'm driving because she wants to get there early, even though me traveling, and Eric, you know this, me traveling, it's like the absolute last thing I want to do is sit in an airport. I will get there 40 minutes before a flight or 30 minutes and just roll through and go. I haven't missed a flight yet. She's got to get there early. She's a nervous flyer. So I'm being the good dad. It's 3 a.m. There's nobody on the road. And she even asked me, she's like, why would anybody be up at this hour driving around? We'd see a car or two down the 101. I'm like, exactly. Exactly. Why would anybody be up at this time of day? But you do these things for your kids. So tomorrow I'm going to fly to Chicago. I'm going to take in this graduation. I'm going to sob like a baby. I'm going to just sob and just, I'm going to be a mess. I can tell you that right now. And I'm going to love every last minute of it. At the same time, I'm not going to be able to unplug because the baseball team is playing so well. You can't just say, I'm going to get away from this because this is very entertaining stuff. Our opening comments brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. And that would be through life insurance. Do you have life insurance? Have you looked into life insurance? You need to start looking around at your little ones that are growing up or the thought of little ones or the thought that you're going to be with a significant other. get your free quote, get it done, get it handled, move forward, go online, log on, check in, Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Jody Jackson comes up at 10:35. So there's some things I want to get into on today's show that we just haven't been able to do because we've been slammed with NFL draft stuff. And that's fine. I've made fun of the Suns. I'll continue to make fun of the Suns. But I do think there's a storyline involving one of the names around the coaching search that I would have liked to have seen them interview at least. And through mutual friends, so on and so forth, I've been able to sit here and say that Mike Brown is not interested in the Suns, but he did interview for the Knicks. Now you're going to say, Mike Brown. Hey, Mike Brown has experience, and he's Steve Kerr's right-hand man. He wouldn't even interview with the Suns, but he interviewed with the Knicks, and he's hoping to get the Knicks job. So for those of you that are the Suns apologists, and you know who you are, you're going to come up with, oh, who would want Mike Brown? Look at what happened with the Lakers. It's a heck of a lot better name than most of the others that are out there. Anything short of David Fizdale, I think, is going to be like, you've got to be kidding me. You know, the fact that they even talked to Jason Kidd, come on. Jason got run out in Milwaukee. Go down the list of the names that have come out. Well, this guy's got ties into Pop. Yeah, why should this be a training wheel position for a coach for their first time? I mean, in all seriousness, why should that be the case? So as we sit here on the 2nd of May, with no end in sight in regards to what are the Suns doing, who are they bringing in, they're going to say, this is how it's going to go with Ryan, because it's not going to be Robert. If it were Robert to sit at the podium and say, this is what we've done, this is why we did it, this is how we're going to get out of this hole, I just can't see Robert doing that. I can't see the Suns allowing him to control a press conference in that fashion. He's done it. So it's going to be Ryan saying, we went this direction, we interviewed this people, we thoroughly researched, we did this, we did that, blah, 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 and all roads led back to this person. And we're going to sit there and say, well, that's not true because you did meet with somebody already and they said, no, pass, thank you very much for playing. So you're already 0 for 1. And Dan Majerle was 0 for 2. The fact that it got out to Dan. But Mike Brown would have been, I think, at least an interesting candidate and a name that, for me at least, I would have said, huh, okay, former head coach, not recycled because he has sat alongside of Steve Kerr and done his thing, and anybody could sit alongside of Steve Kerr in some people's opinions. I don't believe that to be the case. I don't believe that you can just simply sit alongside of Steve and Draymond Green is going to respond to you the right way, or that Steph Curry, or that Klay Thompson, or right down the list there at Golden State with Kevin Durant. That's a hell of a tough job to get all those guys to respond, react, accept, buy in, and keep it going without it imploding, without someone saying, I want out of here because this isn't working for me. Look at the Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant deal and the way that that ended. Or when they had Harden, Westbrook, and Durant in Oklahoma City. The playoffs last night, I mean, the Diamondback game was really good once again, and I'll get into that in a bit. But the playoffs last night to me were, they were spectacular games. Cleveland is tired. Cleveland's got no gas left in the tank. They're playing at Toronto. Toronto has every reason to beat LeBron in game number one, and the game goes into overtime, and it ends up being that LeBron has a triple-double, and it ends up being that Cleveland wins again. They find a way to win and beat Toronto. I don't see how Toronto wins this series. The other side of it is you have the Celtics in Philly tonight, and Boston, without Kyrie Irving, goes up a game. I love watching Philly play. I think Philly's a fun, exciting young team, but they're just not there yet. This is the growing pains you have to go through. It would have shocked me if Philadelphia eliminated the Celtics. It wouldn't shock me. They're talented. It would really shock me if Toronto rallied back and won that series. Not to say they're going to get swept. The other side was the late game last night. And if Anthony Davis were playing in Los Angeles or Anthony Davis were playing in New York, then Anthony Davis would be on the fronts of magazines and everybody's attention. Instead, he's in the smallest media market. He's in the smallest media market, which is New Orleans. And New Orleans did push Golden State a little bit last night. One of the reasons I don't like the business that I'm in at times is when I see people trying to make an issue of something that's simply not there for the sake of making it something to talk about. Yesterday I was out and I looked up on the screen and there was a big deal being made about Alvin Gentry and Steve Kerr shaking hands and embracing one another before New Orleans played Golden State. And of course, it turns into a 3-minute debate about whether that should happen or not, which is just absolutely asinine garbage with a capital G. If you don't know the human element, if you don't have respect, if all you are is trolling for people to say, yeah, Steve shouldn't be paying attention to Alvin, it's just nonsense. It's BS. Those two care about each other a great deal and are very fierce competitors when it's time to play the game. But to turn that into something to talk about, come on. Come on, we're better than that. We should be better than that. The thing that I like about watching Steve Kerr and Alvin Gentry coach is the buy-in factor. I don't know if Devin Booker has a buy-in factor for the next head coach of the Phoenix Suns. I don't know if Devin Booker's had a buy-in factor all the way along. I don't. Players can say outwardly all the right things, and players can go out and put up their points and get theirs, as they like to say. And I've not heard that out of Devin Booker. Devin Booker's not been a I got mine guy. But these coaches that are able to get through to the players, the inmates run the asylum. That's the players run the asylum. And so when we get to this point, the great teams have coaches that can get through to the players and control the players. Devin Booker's been through, what is it, Eric? Three coaches now? Four coaches now since he's been in the league? Five coaches now?
Three coaches, I believe.
Three coaches that he's already run through. Now, he didn't run any of them out of town, but you have to sit there and look at someone who says, I've been able to accomplish all this, and he's done it through three coaches. At some point, I think players want stability. Players want to be challenged. Players want to get better. That's why this hire by Robert, to me, when I hear this, wow, it's going to be a big, important, oh my gosh, this is going to be it. They're going to turn it around. And come on, guys, have you seen the last 8 years? You know, have you seen, what is it, the last 69,552 hours? Have you seen it? So, yeah, I have to look at this roster and wonder if guys are going to buy in to what the head coach is selling. Milwaukee didn't buy into Jason Kidd. Guess what? He got fired. See you later. Thanks very much for playing. And they made it into the postseason. The Diamondbacks on the other side. Some news around Bruce Arians we have not been able to get to because so much stuff's going on the site. It's actually broadcast news that we'll get into as well. And then Jody Jackson comes up at the bottom of the hour. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Welcome back, Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Thanks to those of you watching us over on AZ Central Sports. We are with you every day, Monday through Friday, doing our thing here. Our television show is on Fox Sports Arizona tonight, before and after the Diamondbacks game. We appreciate the partnership with FSAZ. Good-looking show this week. Eric's piece with Christian Kirk was fabulous. Peter King, part of the show. Some recruiting news with Jason Jewell, as always, and Jordan Hamm. And Haley did a great job as well. So check that out over on Fox Sports Arizona. I'm going to talk to Jody Jackson here in about 6 minutes. So I'm not going to go too heavy on Diamondbacks. I'm going to talk more about the Dodgers here. The Diamondbacks have beaten the Dodgers seven of eight times already this season. They've beaten Clayton Kershaw twice already this season. The Diamondbacks have a 9-game lead over the Dodgers. Let's turn this around on the Dodgers' side of the street. Their bullpen is not good. They are coming out of the bullpen. They are carrying gasoline with matches and a glove and a ball sometimes. And the Diamondbacks are just smack them around. The Dodgers are 2-5 in games started by Kershaw this season. And last night, you know, A.J. Pollock has been so good. But if you're a Dodger fan, and there's a lot of you, that's why I'm going from your point of view. The Dodgers lose Corey Seager for the year. Kershaw is not doing much. Bellinger gets benched. He comes back. He hits a moonshot last night. I think Cody's going to be fine and get out of it. I think the issue here is Dave Roberts has had a pretty sweet ride so far this in his run with the Dodgers. He's a very good manager. This is not me sitting here banging away on Dave Roberts. But eventually, somebody is going to look for somebody to blame. And when you have a team that has a bad bullpen, it's going to end up being either the pitching coach or the manager. It just is. That's how it goes in sports. In sports, you can have a great run, and if the team is not responding, back to what I said in the last segment about players responding to coaches, Dave Roberts' move with Cody Bellinger seemed like starting to push the button of, we got to get this thing turned around, and we better wake up. Now, there's plenty of time in the season. We had Luis Gonzalez on yesterday, and I asked Gonzo about, you know, is this a quick start, or is this something that's for real on the Diamondbacks end of things? With all the injuries, you think eventually they're going to come back to earth a little bit. Every team has that stretch where they lose 7 of 8. If we remember last year, the Diamondbacks were playing very good baseball, and the Dodgers were just kind of floating along, and then came July 1st. And at July 1st, the Dodgers smacked the Diamondbacks right ways, left ways, over the top. Fernando Rodney was on the back end of a couple of those bad, bad losses, and we know how the season ended. The Dodgers went on and just crushed everybody. This feels different to me, though, this season. Sometimes you get players back on the Diamondbacks' end, like they're getting Jake Lamb back, and they're supposed to get Souza back. I'll talk to Jody about that here in a couple of minutes. And the chemistry either really works out or it doesn't work out at all. On the Dodgers' end of things, well, it's not so easy. Seager's gone for the year. Kershaw is scuffling. The bullpen has not been good. And the way that they're looking at this from the Dodgers' point of view is, how do you get out of it? Is there enough talent here to get out of it? Last night, Archie Bradley, I'll give you an example. Archie Bradley comes out of the bullpen. He made Matt Kemp look silly. Archie Bradley is going to make a lot of people look silly. There may be times where Matt Kemp makes guys look silly, but it's not the case. His better days, in my opinion, are behind him. For as vaunted as the Dodgers are made out to be, even the most staunch, loyal Blue fan who's got it all over their house and can recite Ron Say, Bill Russell, Steve Sachs, Steve Garvey, Steve Yeager, Dusty Baker, Reggie Smith, you know, go right down the line of great Dodgers, Joe Ferguson, go back even further, Vinny and Jerry Doggett, you want to go way back, you have to admit your team's in trouble with a capital T. Now, the division so far, from my point of view, Colorado's been pretty good, but they're not invincible. You play up there, it's going to be tough. San Diego feels like a team that's trying to go in the right direction, but they've felt that way for the last few years. The Giants, McCutchen was really good early. They've had injuries in the rotation. So where are the Dodgers at in all this? And they are the nemesis. Most of you don't care about the Giants. You don't care about the Padres, and you don't care about the Rockies. All you care about is hold up the sign that says beat LA. That's it. If there's any way that you can get into beat LA mode, that's what matters. You're not going to say beat San Diego. You're not going to say beat San Francisco. You're not going to say beat Colorado. That's not you. When the Dodgers are down, it's pretty good for Phoenix. Thing is, and the same thing with the Lakers. The thing is, the LA teams, fans get geeked up for that. I understand that there's a lot of games that have already been played between the Diamondbacks and Dodgers. I'm kind of sick of seeing the Dodgers myself. I like the fact that a team like Houston is going to roll in here. I'll be in Chicago, but I'll be watching from a distance for sure. Luis Gonzalez, you can read this story. Eric put it up. Good story. Gonzo said that this is a litmus test week for the organization to see really where they are against the best of the best. So far in two games, they pretty much controlled the Dodgers, I feel like, the first two games. Yeah, it was a close game last night, but whose bullpen is better? You bring Archie Bradley and you bring Boxberger in, and it's pretty much over. It's been impressive what's gone on the back end of the bullpen. So, and we're going to talk to Jody about the Diamondback side of things here in the next segment. Today is game number 3. The Diamondbacks have at least split this 4-game series, so their streak continues of not losing a series. And they're tied with Boston for the best record in all of baseball. It's the best start in franchise history at 21-8. It's must-see. First thing Eric brought up to me this morning over breakfast, other than, can I order anything on the menu? And I said, no, you can only order the sides, was, man, this team's fun to watch. The buzz is apparent, and it's how this market works. When the Cardinals are really good, there's a buzz. Last 2 years around the Cardinals, not much buzz. Try to manufacture buzz through media outlets, but it doesn't work. Fans can see what's going on the field. Suns, are you kidding me? Flatline. Coyotes, I think there's a little bit of buzz about they're going the right direction. This baseball team, that's a different story. Jody is next. We'll talk about the Diamondbacks side of things. Stay with us. Coming up tonight, it'll be the Diamondbacks and Dodgers, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, our television show on Fox Sports Arizona. Appreciate the partnership with them. We will be on before and after the Diamondbacks and Dodgers tonight, which means you will see Jody Jackson doing her thing on the field, on the broadcast, before and after the game. How are you?
Doing great.
Yeah? Really good?
Great. Really good. No, it's been it's continued to be a lot of fun, obviously, at the ballpark, and the shows are a great Mark Grace and I have had fun discussing the last two nights, and then Brandon Webb will join us tonight. And it's going to get even more interesting with the Astros coming, because now, you know, the Dodgers, you know, it's not old hat, right?
Get them out of here.
Just kidding.
They're simple.
It's never easy, but it shouldn't be this easy. But, you know, it was a close game last night. They had to come back. But it's not that easy to be dominant against one team. And right now they're doing it against L.A.
We had Gonzo on yesterday, and he said that this is a litmus test week. And he pointed towards the Astros in particular this weekend. Do you buy into that?
Oh yeah, I mean, I think they're all different types of tests, you know, as the season goes on, I should say. But you know, as evidenced by winning every series, they've passed every test, obviously. I think the Dodgers, you know, we're going to look back and see what the year held for the Dodgers, but obviously it doesn't look good right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Justin Turner comes back, it might be a little bit better. But I mean, the Astros are a team that are still clicking on all cylinders, and they're a team. You know, they won the World Series, and they've just rolled from there. And they're very good. Their pitching is excellent. You know, their offense is doing what they did last year, which is, you know, they play that power game. They can do a little bit of everything. So I think not to say the Dodgers aren't a test, because they always are. And, you know, but they did manage to beat the Dodgers in the game that Kershaw started yesterday, which was, you know, on paper, the hardest one to win. So, yeah, I think it is a litmus test.
I saw where, you may know this, and I should know it. I'm looking at it as we speak. Verlander is going to pitch against the Diamondbacks on Sunday. They're going to throw Gerrit Cole on Friday night and Charlie Morton on Saturday. I am looking at the Dodgers. I'm sick of the Dodgers, by the way. I've seen enough of them home and road here in the first.
Ross Stripling is sick of the Diamondbacks, apparently, right?
Right. I mean, come on.
See that quote? We're tired of playing them. Like, okay, I know what he means, but
yes.
That's not a good look to say we need to play someone else. Oh, we're going to be better if we play someone else.
Especially when you've lost 7 of 8 against them. Come on.
Yeah. Well, that's a credit. I mean, that's fine. He wasn't really worried about crediting the D-backs or not. I think his point was taken, but it is a credit to the D-backs when you've got a guy saying, oh, God, we're done with them. Like, we just have to go move on. But, yeah, it's into the rotation. I mean, look, when they added Cole, you're like, all right, they're going to continue to be on an upward trajectory. Morton's been amazing what he's been able to do, kind of resurrecting his career there. And then
Verlander on Sunday.
Verlander, I mean, he's
you know,
I love McCullers, what he does with the curveball and all that. They won't see him, and then you've got Keuchel, but yeah, I mean, and then the Trevor Bauer thing, I was laughing at that yesterday, a little bit petty there between, he was saying, how are these guys all improving their spin rate, kind of saying, are they using some kind of substance on the ball, and,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and then McCullers chimed back, I think it was a McCullers or Colin McHugh chimed in, and, you know, look, the Astros are doing a lot of things right, you know, similar to what the Diamondbacks are doing, they're coaching their guys up to be their best version of themselves, which is why we're seeing Patrick Corbin be the best version of himself. You know, this is a credit to all the people around him. And I think it's much the same with the Astros. These guys are becoming the best pitchers they can become because they're being coached as such, and they're tapping into their true potential. And so it's going to be a great matchup. It's going to be interesting to see with this offense, you know, still not at full strength. Can they overcome the challenge of these pitchers?
The great Jody Jackson is with us, Fox Sports Arizona. Yeah, I did say great, accept the compliment and just move on. Is AJ Pollock an MVP candidate?
Yeah.
5 weeks in.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, he's tied for the major league lead in homers. You know, you could compare him to center fielders, and you've got Blackman and Trout. I mean, those are not just the best center fielders in baseball. Those are some of the best players in baseball. And he's right up there with them. And he's certainly, I mean, the value is really unbelievable. And it feels like, kind of like Daniel Descalzo, you know, he's batting whatever he's batting, and it feels like he's batting 350.
Right.
It feels like they win most every game because of something A.J. Pollock did. You know, you feel like if A.J. wasn't in the lineup, they wouldn't score as many runs. It's just been true. It's just been, you know, and because when you have 10 homers in, what are we at, 29 games?
Right.
So, you know, he's been everything. And as all of our analysts always talk about, especially Mark Grace, who coached him, I mean, he's a complete player. He does it in the field. He's stealing runs out in the field. He's making things happen with his feet when he's out there running the bases. So he's able to impact the game in a lot of ways. Guys, I'm starting to sound like Troy Lovello. He's starting to impact the game. He touches the game in so many ways. Those are like kind of Toryisms. He talks like.
So let me jump in here on you on this. And that is, both Pollock and Corbin are playing lights out. And it doesn't matter if I have Pedro or Mike Farron or other guests. I have to ask the question, is it because they're in a contract year and they're bearing down? And do you believe that they will be here next year?
Well, that's a great question. And I got to, you know, Mark Grace called this, and you might say, oh, well, it's not rocket science, but look, you can't always dial up, oh, it's my contract year, I'm going to be lights out.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Gracie was looking for a big year for both of these guys. And I've often wondered, I mean, do you subconsciously, like you use the term bear down, do you somehow become better at your craft because it's your contract year? I mean, that would insinuate or implicate, you know, were they not doing that before? And I don't think that's true. These guys have always tried to be, again, the best version of themselves. Both of them have had injury problems, especially
right.
AJ. I mean, even though Patrick, it was one injury, right? But one injury that wiped out 16 months for him. And then in 16, you know, the vibe around the team was just poor. And Patrick in particular, we saw him kind of jawing with, you know, not face to face, but like you could tell he and Chip Hale didn't see eye to eye the way Chip was, you know, having guys up in the pen when he was out there in the fifth inning or fourth inning or whatever. And, you know, just that whole vibe felt like a cloud kind of, and the whole year was just not a good year for someone to blossom into a guy that can really be dominant. And then AJ, you know, AJ's really healthy. And mm-hmm. I think these guys are both like a couple of years removed now from their injuries. And, you know, that much stronger, but it is an age old question, is how does that happen? I mean, is it, and you know, look, it's human nature too. When you feel healthy, you feel strong and you're that much wiser. Both these guys are older now and wiser and they're putting it all together. And yes, it's their contract year. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, Eric's been on a contract year here since day one and he's always bearing down. You know,
That's what keeps him motivated.
You're in a contract year every day, right? I mean, you do. This whole idea that, well, I have a contract, so I'm bulletproof. Come on, you're kidding yourself, especially in broadcast. But that's, you know, that's another discussion. I guess where there was a story last week about Corbin being linked to the Yankees, and ESPN wrote it, put it up, and that Corbin made some innocuous comment about it'd be cool to play there. Is there anything you saw that, I'm sure? Is there anything in your mind that one of these two is further out the door than the other? Or, Brad, they really are going to give the Diamondbacks every last opportunity. And I would say, come on, Jody, they're going to say they're going to give them every last opportunity, but you know that Washington or the Dodgers or fill in the blank can throw more money at them.
Well, I mean, it would be great to keep both of them, but sure, it's not, you know, it doesn't always work that way financially. They can mix and match. They can do some other things. They could trade someone else away.
Zach, I mean, they could trade Greinke away and solve the issue.
Yeah, someone else.
Yeah, someone else. I got you. That's what I've been saying. Someone else.
Do that.
Yeah.
How do you do that, though? It's not that easy. He still has a pretty long-term deal. Look, if you know, this is going to get taken the wrong way if I say, you know, one versus the other, but I feel like, in a way, if AJ continues doing what he's doing, being the center fielder that he is.
Yes.
I mean, I almost think he's a guy that you would look to if at the end of the year he's been this steady, or, you know, he's not going to be this hot the whole year, but if he's had an MVP-type season, it's really hard to let your center fielder walk away. But mm-hmm. whereas with pitching, you know, you might be able to find someone that could similarly impact your team. That's not to say Patrick Cormann, I think he's outstanding. I think he's great. It bothered me a little. I did read the article. I was actually talking with Todd Walsh. We were texting. He was on the road trip, and I said, can't we just enjoy this for like a minute, you know, because I've met Patrick's family. They're great people. You know, his mom, Patty, I first really talked to her at Yankee Stadium when he pitched there in 2013. We went there in April for interleague play.
I remember that.
And I interviewed one of his brothers in the stands, and, you know, it was cool for Patrick. I was kind of surprised. He, you know, I'm reading the quotes and I'm like, wow, he's kind of going down this road with the interview. You know, a lot of times mm-hmm. guys just say, I haven't thought about it, or, you know. But he, you know, he's a New York guy. I'm not saying he's out the door into the Yankees, but, you know, I mean, I lived that with them. I was able to sit with their family at Yankee Stadium when he was, like, coming home, and he was dumb, and he was really good. He had a really good start to the year that year in April. And so, I mean, look, it's too hard to tell. You know, you hope he stays this good all year. You know that it's going to have its ups and downs, though. I mean, look at Zach Godley, the way he started, and then now his last three outings have been poor. Mm-hmm. So that's why tonight's game is pretty important for him. You want to see him get back on track. But, you know, anytime anyone performs really well, everyone talks about the Yankees. So it just so happens AJ's from Connecticut and you know, Patrick's from upstate New York. And those are, you know, guys that might have that, you know, fit there. I don't actually know if AJ's a Yankees fan. I can't remember now.
I'm going to stir something up here with you, and you can just shut me down if you want. Jenny Kavner. So, yeah. So she does the play-by-play up in Colorado of baseball. You have done an awful lot. You are really, really good. What you just said there about Zach Godley, where he hasn't been good point blank, that's why you're really good. You just cut through all the minutiae and BS that sometimes infiltrates our industry and say, this is what needs to be said and how it is. Do you have any interest? Do you have any interest in doing play-by-play?
Well, you and I have talked for a while, and I was going to, you know, do some high school football games, things like that. Kind of start at the bottom. I'm really impressed. First of all, Jenny's a really good friend, and Jenny did do some games on the radio, I believe, kind of in the analyst position last year.
Mm-hmm.
So she kind of got her feet wet with that, and then did the play-by-play. And I think she did a fantastic job. I didn't get to hear the whole game, but she's been doing this a long time, just like I've been doing it a long time. And there are things you know about the game without having played the game. There's a feel to the game. There's what you know what you're looking for. You know, because you've listened to managers talk for 20 years, and you've, you know, Jenny's not as old as I am, but you've listened to players talk. You've seen them do drills from spring training into the season. You've seen a lot. So, but that said, for me, I mean, I would love to get the chance, but by no means am I going to say, oh, is it easy to just step in and do that?
Sure.
I look at everything as, you know, if you haven't done it, it's not just necessarily an easy thing to do. You prepare and, you know, you do it. And do I think I could do it? Yeah, I think I could do it. I don't think I'd be like really good at it right from the start, maybe, you know, because you have to feel your way and you just,
yeah.
You know, obviously you hope to hold your own. I think in this business, it's a lot of like you sink or swim. I mean, I think you always swim. You try to swim. And, you know, if you sink, you get on, you go viral, right? Like I always think of the reporter that did the Broncos. Who was the reporter that did like Monday Night Football a year or two ago and went viral because of, you know, the poor guy talked for all of like 27 seconds and yet he was immediately considered, you know. But no, I mean,
Is it an itch that you need to scratch?
I think at some point down the line, you know, maybe. Yeah. I mean, is it an itch that I need to scratch? Let's put it this way. I would say no. It's not like a burning thing, like I have to do that, because I'm really pretty busy working on my current craft. You know what I mean?
No, but you're really good at your current craft, and someone else,
Brad, you could be my agent. Brad.
Another person is doing something, and it, and I don't think it's a big deal, male, female. I think we overreact to that stuff, but nonetheless, we have to address it in some way, shape, or form. And so female does play-by-play baseball, gets blown up into a big deal. I think you're really good. I think you could do it. And that's just the end of that. That's
well,
all I'm going to say.
Brad. So. You know, I think I could do it, but, you know, there's a lot that goes into being good at it. And I wouldn't want to just
Well, I didn't say you'd be any good.
I would want to do it and be pretty good at it. And I don't know what that progression is, something that I'm not really in the mode to do right now, you know, because I am working at, you know, my current, I have a slate of 100 games to worry about right now. So,
Jody, we want the train wreck. Okay. We want the car crash. Eric and I would just sit here and play it over. And, no, I'm just kidding.
You would.
Hey, before you get out of here.
Like, oh, I've been saying she's good for all this time.
Right.
But now
yeah, who's sure. that? She's terrible. Before you get out of here, what I know that you are full bore into what's going on with the baseball team. Anything catch your eye with the Cardinals outside of the Rosen-Kirk addition? I guess what caught my eye is Vegas picked them to win 5.5 games. They don't think they're going to be any good. Or the Coyotes, because
yeah,
you've been on that,
that
beat. You've been on the Coyote beat, too. Anything with the Cardinals or Coyotes that's caught your eye? Because those are your two other teams.
I mean, Coyotes now are going to focus on having that fifth pick, and that's, you know, kind of the thing that they, you know, the lottery hasn't been super kind to them, but I think they feel good about where they're going. And then, I mean, Cardinals, you know, you and I were out there that first night. I think we both, I mean, I haven't heard your take since they've done all the picks, but I mean, I think it's been a great draft. I mean, the Christian Kirk thing was just spot on. I feel like he was actually kind of a steal at 47. I talked to Steve Keim later, and I guess there are reasons why he was there, you know, but it's such a great fit for, you know, the Cardinals in particular. So, and then Chase Edmonds, I've heard some really good things about him being, you know, you don't know about a running back out of Fordham. I don't know that many of us have seen him play, but I've heard they really like his potential. So, I think it was an excellent draft. I mean, time will tell though. That's another, you know, when you talk to these guys and even Steve Keim himself, you know, he knows that time will tell.
Yeah.
You've done all your due diligence. You've done, you know, I think they got who they wanted as far as who was, you know, when they, from who they had available when they were picking. So,
all right. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to talk to you because I think you were – no, I was scarfing down on a blueberry something that the Cardinals put out. So.
Oh, yeah. It was like a blueberry butter cake.
Oh, my gosh. And it
Remember
was
that?
Right
that was
after the pick. So, you know, we do – guys, we do have a little bit of fun.
We celebrated Josh Rosen's arrival with a blueberry butter cake.
Right, because as soon as he said there were 9 mistakes taken in front of us, Jody and I are like, yes, we have something to hang on for the next year, 10 years.
He's going to be a great interview, I think.
Yeah. All right. See you. Good to catch up with you. Thanks.
All right, Brad. Take care.
Later. It's Jody Jackson. If you read between or listen between the lines of what Jody says, she's so dialed in and is so versatile. She can just jump right over to something and nail it. She's so talented. So I appreciate her coming on. I've got a few other things in my mind before we get out of here on this segment. All right, actually, in the next segment, and then talk to the Lopes. We'll talk GCU men's basketball, talk to the Lopes every week, this week with TJ Benson. Dan Marley landed 6 new players. We'll have that here in about 10 minutes. Stay with us. So a couple other things, and then we'll step aside for talk to the Lopes. That is, U of A lost out again on another high-end basketball recruit. It's becoming a habit here in the offseason for them. They get in on these kids and they say no. It used to be U of A landed anybody that they wanted. Now, they still may get Brandon Williams, big time guard, who said no to Arizona State. But those of you that are diehard, long time U of A followers, you have to admit that being told no, or I'm not even considering you, has to be alarming. Lucas Kisnes announced he's heading to Stanford next season. He visited both U of A and Stanford in the last 2 weeks. Now, can you fault a young man for saying, I think I'm going to go to Stanford? No, you can't. I get that. But that's not how it used to be when you were a U of A basketball fan. You would land guys like this, and you would just simply retool and reload, and that hasn't happened. U of A is trying to get Brandon Williams. He is going to announce this Saturday. So it's a big weekend ahead for U of A and trying to get him to come back on board because he was there to begin with. There's that. There's some stuff going on with Rising FC, and I don't have time in today's show to get into it, but they're starting to look around at some other spots to develop a soccer-only stadium. And MLS is going to come back to the Valley here in the next 60 to 90 days from what I've been told. And they're going to know. They're going to know by the end of this year at Cincinnati, Detroit, Sacramento, and Phoenix. And right now, I think, just my humble opinion, it's Cincinnati and Phoenix that are going to land the MLS franchises. I think there's some problems with the other markets, and we'll get into that on tomorrow's show. Up next, Talk to the Lopes with TJ Benson. Stay with us. Time now for Talk to the Lopes. Every week we talk Grand Canyon University athletics, all sports, administrators, coaches, players. And we do it year-round here on Sports360AZ.com every Wednesday. We partner with the Arizona Republic. They carry it as well, AZ Central Sports. Of course, our television show on Fox Sports Arizona, 16 airings per week, Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. This week we're going to focus in on the basketball program, and you're probably saying, Brad, it's early May. Here's the thing about being an assistant basketball coach like TJ Benson. It means that there's never an off season. The director of basketball operations in his previous life at GCU, he had just finished up season number 6. And as an assistant coach, we want to get the latest because GCU has been killing it in the last week in terms of commitments and getting new players on campus. How are you, TJ?
I'm doing well, Brad. How are you?
I am good. Am I understating it when I say your season never ends? There is never an off season. Is there any like couple weeks you can point to and say, you know, Brad, the end of July, early August, and I'd say end of July is still an evaluation period. There's never time off for you guys.
To be honest, the next few weeks it'll actually slow down. I mean, I know for us it was kind of a goal to hopefully get things knocked out at the end of April. And the way we kind of finished that month, it was an ideal thing. And I know moving forward, I mean, like I said, May is kind of a downtime, but then June we got camps for about 3 weeks, and then July is a big recruiting month. So I'm gonna try to take advantage of what little time we have off in the coming month.
Okay, I want to have a discussion with you in a deep dive, and that's the beauty of doing this type of format is I can get into you a bit on your journey, because I will get people that will come to me saying, I want to go be in basketball in the front office. I remember David Griffin was just a PR intern, no offense to PR interns, back in the day with the Suns, and we all know where David ended up with the Cavaliers and in the NBA. Your journey, if you walked people through from when you were done playing to where you are now to where you want to be ultimately, walk us through that.
You know, for me, I mean, I just remember I remember one day in practice when I was at Weber State and Coach Ray, I made an adjustment on a baseline out of bounds play, and Coach Ray stopped practice and he was like, "Man, TJ, I think you're gonna be a coach one day." Mm. So for me, that's kind of I think when the wheels started turning. But you know, just kind of going, you know, as my playing career wound down, I didn't know what I wanted to do necessarily. Got into coaching, talked to some mentors of mine, and you know, I just really just kind of just jumped into it. You know, I started Boise State for a year volunteering there. And then really just, you know, the connections that I have. I won't lie to you guys, it helped having a younger brother that a lot of people wanted to recruit. That, you know, that played a big part in it. It allowed me to network and connect with guys that I don't think I would have had the opportunity to do so if I would have just been a regular kind of Joe Schmo walking around, you know, trying to go find a job. But I was lucky and blessed in that sense. And I think for me, it's led me to where I am now. And a lot of that is just, you know, it's something that you're privileged to kind of be in, you know, a Division I coach. And people don't understand how hard it really is. I mean, everyone, there's so many guys out there that want the opportunity. And I know being at Grand Canyon and what we got going on, it's something that, you know, we just keep going the right direction.
And I don't know if people understand that if you were to break it down by the hour of what you were paid or getting paid to do what you do, you have a passion just in your voice, right? Like I can hear it, that you're just doing this. And when the check shows up in the account, yeah, it's fine. but you don't do coaching for the paycheck. At least most people I know don't do it for the check. They just love it.
No doubt. No, and that's something for me. I mean, I always kind of have said this, and it's just who I am and kind of the way I was raised, but just the relationships with, you know, the guys. I mean, I look at guys, you know, especially this year. I've been here, you know, 6 years now, and the guys that just graduated, you know, Casey, Keontae, Josh, all, you know, Shaq Carr, even though he didn't finish the season. Guys that come back, I mean, I was really, really close to them and close to everyone. And I know that when they do come back in every year and hang out and I talk to them on the phone and just kind of just, you know, the time you spend with those guys, and I spend more time with them than I do with my family. You know, that's why this year was so unique with my brother, having him around every single day. I mean, that was something I know the two of us will look back on a long time from now and really kind of cherish that. But you know, for me, that's the biggest part. I mean, I just love what I do and being around good people, good guys. And it's something that not, you know, like I said, a lot of people want to do it. Not many people get to experience it.
I'm not trying to pull you away from Dan, but you ultimately do want to be a head coach, right? Or are you a lifetime assistant? Some guys like the assistant role.
No, I mean, that is my goal. I mean, I want to be an assistant or not assistant. I want to be a head coach one day. Mm-hmm. It's something that if I wanted to be a lifetime assistant, I kind of almost would, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I might never be a head coach at Division I level. It's not easy. There's only 351 of them out there. So it's something that I know it's a goal. It's kind of what drives me every single day and kind of what I want. You know, it's something to kind of just continue to work towards. But like I said, ultimately, I mean, that is my goal and what I want to do down the road.
Talk to the Lopes this week. TJ Benson with us, GCU men's basketball. They have been really busy. You signed 6, right?
Yes.
And the number of miles you've traveled in the last month to sign those 6, TJ?
surprisingly, it wasn't. I didn't have to do a whole lot of traveling the last month. It was more so the accumulation over the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at guys like J.J. Rimes, who I've been recruiting since he was a sophomore in high school. Tim Finke, Michael Finke. I mean, that one was kind of a tag team. I mean, I went and saw Tim a lot during the season. I never had any contact with Michael, but, you know, just talking to their family and them getting to know me and then that process afterwards. But and I look at like guys like Carlos Johnson, who's from here, you know, the kid Trey Drexel, and then even Isaiah Brown. I mean, last month, a lot of that wasn't necessarily us traveling to see them. It's just been the process over the last few years and kind of the relationships that we developed with those guys.
6 may seem like a big number, but are we in a day and age now, TJ, where we're going to see the 5s and 6s every year because you're going to have kids that are transferring out, that are graduating. You're going to have the kids that aren't happy or the kids that aren't at that level of play. Is this the new norm, I guess, is the question, where every late April, 1st of May, it's, wow, 6 guys, that seems like an inordinate amount, but this is just how it's going to be.
I think we're headed in that direction, especially with the, you know, the NCAA potentially allowing or having new legislation out there to allow more transfers and being eligible right away.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, you know, it right now, if the way our roster were to, if we were to have it, you know, perfect world and we weren't to have any guys leave aside from graduation next year, we're going to have 4 open scholarships. So, you know, that's relatively normal. But, I mean, you always know there's going to be guys that are unhappy or, you know, that just, like you said, the level might not be right or the right fit, whatever it may be. I think we're trending that direction. I think I saw tweet the other day, there's already 500 transfers out there, and it's May 1st. So we got another 2-3 months before really this, you know, before summer ends, teams are kind of starting to be put together, but it's definitely trending that direction.
And I don't want to take away from the players that you're bringing in and just focus on one, but I think in the recruitment of Finke, that's a big time get. And you look at the list and the brother comes along as a transfer. So in that case, how do you go about that recruitment? Was it was it Tim, the incoming freshman, coming to you guys saying, my brother's thinking of leaving, or the brother reaching out? How do you go about getting brothers together?
Honestly, when No, we kind of had, you know, I had heard rumors about it before the season, but nothing was ever, you know, it was never set in stone. I mean, Michael was a new coach, new situation, clean slate. And I think he went in there with an open mind. And when the time came, I mean, I really didn't even think it was going to happen until the season ended and the dad, you know, approached me once he got his release.
Mm-hmm.
But when that time came, you know, Tim was all, you know, hey, the opportunity to play with your brother. I know Tim was, he was all about it. Michael wanted the opportunity, but I made the recruitment and we made the recruitment about Michael. I mean, you know, this was a decision where he's only coming here for 1 year and it needed to be the right fit for him as much as it wanted, you know, as much as he wanted to have the opportunity to be with Tim for his final year. It was something that I said, hey, this is about Michael, you know, I don't want to make it, you know, about him and Tim, even though that is a piece of it. But Michael's got to make the best decision for himself at the end of the day.
What can you say about Tim Finke for fans that is not too over the top? Because I've heard and read a lot about how talented he is.
Tim is a kid that, I mean, he's going to be a competitive, hard work, and he's going to fit the culture that we want here. But just his versatility, I think that's his biggest strength, his ability to kind of, you know, he played really 1 through 5 on his high school team. And I think we'll look at him as a kid that'll play, you know, 2, 3, 4. I mean, using him in a lot of different ways, you know, running him off the screens, you know, using him in some ball screens. And really, if he's got a mismatch, which is what Coach Marley's all about in our pro-style offense, is just, you know, maybe isolating him at the elbow or putting him in the post.
Mm.
But he's a kid that I think he's going to come in here and, you know, he's going to work and be one of, you know, a big piece of our future. You know, moving forward.
Before I let you get out of here, Alessandro really came onto the scene. He was one of the better big men that I saw across the country last year. I'm not going to put him at Ayton and Bagley, obviously, but he was very, very good for where he was last season. Mm-hmm. What's he doing in the off season, and what do you expect to see out of him, other than probably getting bigger and stronger up top?
Ale, I mean, he's. I think we're going to just, for him, he's got to continue to change his body. I mean, that was mm-hmm. the biggest thing, I think, when he came in is kind of getting in better condition. Because, I mean, Coach is the guy that's going to – we're going to center the offense around him next year for the most part. I mean, we're going to have great pieces to pair with him. But he's a guy that I think, you know, continue to work on his ball handling, his passing. I mean, I think late in the season, you know, team started to double team him, and, you know, he struggled to, you know, make those decisions out of that.
Mm.
And for him, just, you know, again, just working on his inside and outside game to where he is going to be a dual threat. And I know moving forward, you know, one thing about Ollie is you can't keep him out of the gym. I mean, he's a kid. He's just tireless worker, great kid. So I think for him, I mean, it's something that he's going to, you know, the more he's here working with us, the better he's going to get.
Yeah. No, he's got tremendous upside, I think. And it was fun to see him in the WAC tournament and progress the way that he did. Hey, I appreciate the time. Go underwater for a few weeks, and we'll see you down the road. Thanks, TJ.
Sounds good, Brad. Thank you. Have a good day.
You got it. Take care. There's TJ Benson with us, GCU men's assistant basketball coach, to Dan Marley. And that is Talk to the Lopes.